So I always say, if you have your Bible, then I would invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I will read this passage again for the preaching of God's word. So I encourage you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And I will begin by reading from verse 42. So, brothers and sisters, this is God's holy and inerrant word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Thus far, the reading of God's word. When Allison and I were newlywed couples, we went on our honeymoon trip to Europe, and we stayed in a town called Ghent, located in Belgium for a few days, and we enjoyed quite a lot of stuff there. We enjoyed our time eating some Belgium chocolate waffles and strawberries, delicious stuff, and I should have shown you a photo of it so that you all can crave for more food. We got to explore the sceneries and the culture, and thankfully the people there were able to speak English, but the language that they spoke was Flemish, which is not the same as Dutch, but still interesting to us. And Sunday was about to arrive as we were staying in Ghent, and we needed to find a church to go and fellowship and worship God in. So I tried to spend a bit of time finding a church there that was evangelical, that was Bible preaching, Bible teaching. But unfortunately, I couldn't find a single evangelical church in that town, except that the churches there were Catholic, Roman Catholic. And so we had to do our own worship on that Sunday. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I travel or go to a new place for on vacation, I at least try to look for a church so where I can worship God, listen to the preaching of God's word, and to fellowship with, make new friends, fellowship with new believers that I have never met before. With the advancement of technology nowadays, it is easy to look for churches because I expect most churches to have a website that can tell me more about themselves, such as their statement of faith, their mission, their vision, their pastor and leaders, and their series of sermons. I personally have my own checklist of what I generally look for in a church. Now, if I were to ask you, but if I were to ask you to write up a list of what you look for in an ideal church, what would be the first four things? Let's just say four things. What would be the first four things that you would put? Some may say, having children's program. Some would say having good music. Those are all good stuff. And I think this could be a good practical exercise. See, whether you're on vacation or relocating for a job or going to college or university outside of Vancouver, it is important to find a local church that faithfully reflects and represents the teachings of the Bible. But when you look at the new Christians in Acts chapter 2, when you look at the new Christians who were converted by God through Peter's sermon, if you really think about it, they did not have the luxury, like us, to write up a checklist of what they look for, what they're looking for in a church. There were no other churches in Jerusalem except for one. There were the 12 apostles and the 120 followers of Jesus. That's the only church available in the city of Jerusalem. And so Luke describes to us what these Christians did and how they were being the church naturally and organically. And so as we approach this passage, I think the Lord wants us to slowly consider the characteristics of the early church. This church was a devoted church. Acts 2:42 is probably one of the most recited verses in this book to describe what a devoted church or what a healthy church should look like. What we see from this verse alone is what these new Christians were devoted to, the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And so, as I was thinking about it, I think the Lord is wanting us to consider this passage slowly. This will then become a topical series within the sermon series of Acts. Therefore, I titled this series, A Devoted Church. A Devoted Church. We will spend 4 Sundays talking about each of these characteristics while also highlighting the rest of this passage. I don't think Luke is meant to give us an exhaustive list of the characteristics of a devoted church. Certainly, there are so many ways to describe what a healthy church would look like when you read through the New Testament. But I think these 4 characteristics might be foundational and core values for true biblical Christian fellowship. It gives us a well-rounded sphere of the Christian church. And you can think of this passage as a snapshot, a quick snapshot of what a healthy church and a devoted church looks like. And so when we look at this passage, a question that we should at least ask ourselves as individual Christians and as a church, do we have similar traits? Do we have similar features in our devotion to the Lord like these early Christians? Or are we different? If non-believers want to know what a devoted church looks like, they don't necessarily have to look at Acts 2:42, since they may not have ever read the Bible. All they need to do is to look at you and me. As Charles Spurgeon once said, that Christians are to be walking Bibles. If we are nothing like the early church in our devotion to these 4 characteristics, then I think it is appropriate for us to go back to the basics, go back to the 101s, learn the core and the foundational values. And hopefully, by doing so, the Lord will reignite our love, our devotion, our dedication, loyalty, and commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as His church. Now, before we look at the first characteristic, let's begin by understanding what Luke meant by saying they devoted themselves. Classical musicians perform wonderful pieces and compositions during the recital. However, to be able to play even one classical piece, they will have to devote many, many hours of training and practicing in order to just give you that 5 to 10 minute performance of that singular piece. They would have to focus and persevere in their preparation and in their discipline. And since these new Christians were still new to their faith, it was crucial for them to begin their training and in learning how to live the Christian life. And it certainly requires devotion. To be devoted carries the idea of persistence, of persevering in something. In the King James Version, this would be translated as they continued steadfastly. But I prefer the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, where it says they were continually devoting. In other words, the Christians were devoting themselves to these things, not just once, but they were doing so actively. They were spiritually disciplined in these activities. They were hungering and desiring to be involved, not by spectating, but by participating in the Christian church. They were focused on growing in their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, this word was also used in chapter 1, verse 14, where the apostles were devoting themselves to prayer, along with other believers as a way to express a sense of unity. This word in the Greek is also used in later on chapter 2, verse 46, where it's translated as attending. The Christians were attending the temple together. They were dedicated to going to the temple together to worship God. Now, wouldn't you want to be there with these new Christians in the early church? I'm often amazed at the passion and zeal of new believers. I have met one before when I was on a mission trip. She was on the same team as I was, in a team of seven. She was still a rather baby Christian. God saved her from her sinful lifestyle through the hearing of the gospel in response to the gospel. Only met the Lord for less than half a year, but already she had a desire to tell others about Jesus and to learn and understand the Bible because of all that Jesus Christ has done for her in her life. And to this day, she is still walking with the Lord. Now, the point is devotion to the Lord. We're to be devoted to the Lord regardless if we go on a mission trip or not. So the questions you have to ask yourselves are these. Are you devoted to the Lord on a day-to-day basis? Or is devotion to the Lord only a Sunday morning activity like what we're doing right now? I wonder what happens after the service. Are you sold out to Christ? Or are you selling him out? Do you make it your commitment to walk close to him 24/7 by his grace? Do you genuinely love the Lord and love the church of Jesus Christ? Or have you abandoned the love that you had at first? What if non-Christians aren't seeing Jesus in our lives because we are not devoting ourselves to the Lord? What if our witness for Christ in the world is ineffective because we are not spiritually disciplined in the characteristics that we're about to talk about? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, even as you read in chapter 2, verse 47, Luke tells us that these early Christians have favor with all the people. This means that the Christians were appealing. They were attractive, not because of the programs that the church had, not because of the production value of the service, but because of how these Christians lived their lives to the glory of God as a community. And if we are to be effective witnesses for Christ in this world and in this community that we're in, then we are to be a devoted church. So now, we're going to examine the first characteristics of a devoted church for this morning. The Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the first thing that the new believers devoted themselves to. Luke could have said many other things, but perhaps this might have been their first priority. It is worth mentioning and reminding you who these apostles were. They were specifically chosen by Jesus Christ to be his representative, also known as the 12 apostles. They were the ones who spent 3 years with Jesus in his earthly ministry. With the exception of Judas Iscariot, now replaced by Matthias, the apostles were guardians and teachers of the truth. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Jesus divinely commissioned his apostles with authority to teach and preach the gospel and to lay down sound doctrine for us. And so please note that this word teaching here isn't a noun. It can be translated as doctrine, lesson, or instruction. And hence, this phrase has also been called the apostolic doctrine. Now, what is not the apostles' teaching? What is not the apostles' teaching? The apostles' teaching is not equal to the apostles' miracles. Notice that the Christians were not devoted to the apostles' signs and miracle and wonders. Certainly, they did perform miracles, as we see in verse 43. It was amazing. It was astounding. Who wouldn't want to see miracles being performed? However, that's not what they did. That's not what the early church did. So it's not equal to the apostles' miracles. Second thing is, the apostles' teaching is not the doctrine that they fabricated. Some of you may have asked yourselves, well, why should I listen to the apostles' teaching? Isn't it just better to just listen to the teachings of Jesus and that's good enough for us? And maybe some of you may have issues with the Bible by asking, well, isn't the Bible written by mere human beings? Many liberals and progressive quote-unquote Christians generally reject the teachings of the apostles because they think that they're man-made doctrines. But like I said, the apostles' teaching is not the doctrine that they fabricated. Apostolic doctrine is teaching that comes to us through the apostles, those specifically chosen by Christ to carry whose teaching? Christ's teachings to the world. We must understand that the teachings of the apostles derive ultimately from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Listen to Jesus' own words that he gave to his apostles on the night before he was crucified. Let me repeat, this is what Jesus said to his apostles, with the exception of Judas Iscariot. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I, Jesus, have said to you. John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. But when the Helper comes on the day of Pentecost, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he, the Spirit, will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Whose word? The apostles' word. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We learn from this that the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to inspire the apostles with truth, specifically all the truth. The Holy Spirit is, you know, one in essence with God the Father and God the Son, co-equal in nature. But the Holy Spirit only spoke what he heard from Jesus and from the Father. Therefore, in turn, when the apostles went out to preach and to teach and to write letters into all the churches, those words are actually God's words because they are being inspired by the Spirit. And his Holy Spirit only speaks what he hears from the Father and from Jesus Christ. Thus, the apostles' preaching and writing should not be thought of as their own, but rather as God's words through the power of God's Spirit about God's Son. Therefore, whatever Peter wrote, whatever Paul wrote, whatever the authors of the New Testament wrote, are the words of Jesus Christ inspired by the Holy Spirit. So in reality, if you disagree, of course, if you disagree and have issues with Paul's teachings, for instance, then your problem is not with Paul ultimately, but with the triune God. And so now, having said what is not the apostles' teaching, let's talk about what is the apostles' teaching. A lot can be said here, but let me just give you 2 points. The apostles' teaching includes the person and the work of Jesus. And the apostles' teaching includes the teaching of Scripture. You see, this is what they were devoting themselves to. The apostles' teaching. During this time, the New Testament was not written just yet, but I can imagine that there's no doubt it includes the person and work of Jesus. Let's talk about this one. As we have learned in chapter 2 of Peter's sermon, he has spent so much time preaching and explaining the event of Pentecost in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews repented and they were baptized to identify themselves with Jesus and became his followers. The Jews heard about Jesus and they knew about Christ, but they did not know everything about him. Having spent 3 years with Jesus, the apostles were to disciple these new believers and to help them understand what it means to follow him. These newborn believers, newborn again believers, were keen on learning and studying the truth. And this is also part of the Great Commission that Jesus has given to us in Matthew chapter 28, where the apostles were to teach them, were to teach the disciples to observe all that Christ had commanded them. Most likely, it includes all the doctrinal, ethical, and practical teachings that we read in the Gospels and even in the epistles. Similarly, for us as Christians, we should be discipling believers in the way of Christ. And regardless of how long you've been a Christian for, you should regularly be taught to examine and to observe the teachings of Christ, because we're imperfect. We're easily forgetful of Christ's teachings, and we constantly need his reminders. And there's no doubt that the apostles taught them the scriptures. That's the second thing. During that time, the only scripture that the apostles had was the Old Testament. But the Jews, would have known the Old Testament already. So why would I think the apostles needed to teach them the scriptures? Well, first of all, although the Jews knew the Old Testament, they needed to know that it pointed to Christ. It pointed to Christ. For instance, Jesus indicted the Jews for thinking that they knew their scriptures, when in fact they didn't, if it didn't lead them to faith and obedience to the Lord. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. We should remember also the events that took place after the resurrection of Christ in the Gospel of Luke. And on two occasions, Jesus had to teach his disciples about Scripture, the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27, Jesus told the disciples on the road to Emmaus, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his own glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 45, Jesus spoke these words particularly to his apostles. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the apostles and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Following the steps of Jesus, the apostles probably explained to the Jews from the Old Testament that the scriptures pointed to Jesus. You have to understand how important this was in the process of discipleship. Let me give you an example. There was a character, an evangelist named Philip, whom we'll learn later on in the book of Acts. He would have no doubt been discipled and taught by the apostles, not only to understand the scriptures, but also how to interpret them. I can imagine that Philip submitted himself under the apostolic authority and doctrine. And I can perhaps picture the apostles and Philip and all the other Christians having really good Bible studies and going through the Old Testament to understand how Christ fulfills the scriptures. And when the time came for the church to be scattered due to persecution, Philip continued to evangelize in Acts chapter 8. And he encountered an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the scroll of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 53. And then Philip asked the Ethiopian, "Do you understand what you're reading?" In response, the Ethiopian said, "I don't understand. I don't understand." And then Philip, what did he do? He opened his mouth and told him about the good news of Jesus, telling him that the person that he's reading in Isaiah 53 pointed to Jesus Christ. He interpreted scripture for him. He helped him understand scripture. I wonder how many of us have experienced this in our life, where either someone asked us about the scriptures, what does this mean? Can you help me understand it? Either from a new Christian or maybe a non-believer, help me to understand the scripture. How many of you have been asked those kind of questions in your life? Maybe some of you have. But were you prepared to give them an answer? See, what we could possibly learn from this brief example of Philip's life is through the apostles' teaching, is that he was prepared to explain the scripture to a non-believer who asked about the meaning of the text. And I think that's something very quite valuable for us to learn as a church, to always be prepared to help others understand the Bible. And I think sometimes for me, I feel like for me as a pastor, if you are a leader of this church in any way, shape, or form, in whatever capacity, I think there's something very valuable about learning the basic tools of Bible interpretation. Having the tools available so that you'll be able to help others understand the scripture. And so that's something I thought about. But moving on, I think that we should be always be prepared to understand the scriptures and help others too. And so what is the significance then? What is the significance of the apostles' teaching? See, right now, in this moment in our life, we do not have the apostles like the ones that Jesus divinely commissioned. But these apostles, they have left their witness and teaching for us in the pages of Holy Scripture. The apostles and those closely associated with the apostles have written down for us the teachings of God's word found in the New Testament. Majority of the letters written in the New Testament were attributed to the apostles, to the apostle Paul from Romans to Philemon. And the apostle Matthew, he wrote the Gospel of Matthew. And the apostle John wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Gospel of John in the book of Revelation. And then you have Peter, who wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, and he may have influenced Mark in the writing of Mark's Gospel. And then you have other writers like Luke, James, and Jude, and the author of Hebrews, most likely been associated with the apostles, who wrote the scriptures as well. This would then form what the theologians have called the New Testament canon of scripture. See, what we have in the Bible is the complete word of God. And after the death of the final apostle, the New Testament was complete. There is no more fresh new revelation. There's no need to add another book of the Bible. What we have in the New Testament is the apostolic teaching. And as I mentioned already, Paul says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the apostles have laid the foundation only once by the writing of God's word. And so, the church of Jesus Christ, the reason why it's so significant is because the church of Jesus Christ is centered on the teaching of the Bible. Teaching and instruction cannot be undermined. It cannot be compromised by merely focusing on other things like community development and tangible service, although they're very important, but they should not be the first priority. The teaching has to be the first priority in the church. The Apostle Paul stressed about the teaching and doctrine in his pastoral epistles to his proteges Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, Paul said to Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 says this, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul said to Titus, "The elder must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." Titus chapter 2, verse 1, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine." Chapter 2, verse 15, "Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Therefore, as a pastor, it is my utmost commitment to preach and explain the apostles' teaching written for us in the pages of the New Testament, because God holds me accountable in that aspect. R.C. Sproul, the late R.C. Sproul, who passed away 4 years ago, giant in theology, he once said this, and I quote, "The church is apostolic in that the teaching of the apostles as contained in the sacred scripture is the foundation of the church and the authority by which the church is governed," end quote. So therefore, we need to be committed to the apostles' teaching. We need to be devoted. But why? Why should we do that? Why should we be devoted to the apostles' teaching? See, for these new believers, it is important for new believers to receive instruction as they enter into the new covenant community. Jesus told us to make disciples and to baptize them, to teach them to observe all that he has commanded us. There needs to be teaching. And plus, we need to be devoted, because that is how we can grow in our relationship with God. Peter describes Christians to be like newborn infants, longing for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. One of the evidence of true saving faith, one of the evidence that you are a genuine Christian, is that you desire for teaching, that you hunger for teaching. You are born again by the Holy Spirit. You should be like a spiritual infant who naturally desires and longs for spiritual milk, which is the Word of God. And if you are not devoted to the apostles' teaching, then you will be spiritually malnourished. As Hosea once said, as God said to Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." One commentator also said this, and I quote, "The church cannot operate on truth if it is not taught. Believers cannot function on principles they have not learned." Therefore, we are to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. And so now, let's come to the application. How can we be devoted to the apostles' teaching? Well, first, you need to come to church regularly on Sunday to hear the preaching of God's word. Notice, when you go back to the passage in Acts 2:42, that they devoted themselves. The they here is in the third person plural pronoun. They did this together as a community, as one body of Christ. Ever since COVID has started back in March 2020, I've been preaching to a few volunteers and to the people behind the camera. And as I mentioned, I'm so grateful for the technology that we have and for the tech team for working so hard to get us to give us the best service through technology. But I think there are some things that need to be said right this moment. I honestly don't know what goes on behind the camera. I can imagine that that the internet gets disconnected from time to time. Like one time I was tuning in for a live stream, the internet went down on us. And I can imagine that the distraction that goes on in the living room as you're trying to pay attention, you know, those are quite understandable. But I can imagine that some maybe just be browsing on the internet as they are switching tabs on Google Chrome and putting this live stream on, in the background, in the back burner. I have heard some people tell me that they're doing other chores while playing the live stream in the background, or passively listening to the message while not having their Bibles open and looking at the text with me. Brothers and sisters, if that is you, what is the motivation? What is in your heart during those moments? Is there devotion in the Lord? Is there the fear of the Lord in you? Is there honor and glory to God in those moments? Brothers and sisters, please repent. God is watching you. Doesn't matter if you tune in and give us the analytics. I want you to be worshiping God with us. We need to be devoted. We need to focus. As hard as it is these days to focus on preaching God's word, because our culture undermines teaching, as our culture always keeping things a lot shorter, like TikTok and also all these other social media where videos are like 15 seconds to 10 seconds to entertain you, while the sermons are like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and then you really switch out on me. Brothers and sisters, we need to grow in this area, to be devoted to the Lord, to the apostles' teaching, to God's word. And I say this with utter love, pastoral care, and pastoral love, because God holds me accountable on this area. And so God, so I ask you, please, as restrictions are being lifted in this province, if this is something that you've been, this is something that has hindered you, live stream, if live streaming, having said what I said, if live streaming has hindered you in your devotion to the Lord, then I think it's appropriate for us to all come back, see each other again, for our Bibles open. The good old days, remember the good old days when there's no technology, everyone brought their Bibles, because that's what Christians should be doing. Bring in their Bibles so we can all open it together and listen and learn God's word together. It is a habit and discipline that we all need to return to. But the second thing I want to say is, while we may not always have the opportunity to learn God's word together, you can still devote yourself to the apostles' teaching by reading and studying the Bible. More can be said about it, but that's something we all need to return to, come back to. And third, make sure that you're in a church that is devoted to the apostles' teaching. If you're ever listening to sermons or messages on YouTube as a way to supplement your Christian faith, your Christian life, then make sure the pastor faithfully preaches and teaches and expounds the scripture. You know, how can you tell if the pastor is expounding the Bible, teaching the Bible? Well, you can always look at, I always like to look at the sermon series, and okay, nothing wrong with topical series, but I generally personally look at churches if they are going through books of the Bible. And even as you're listening to the teaching of the Bible, just you can always say, see how much time he spends on telling stories compared to teaching and explaining the Bible. And so those are some of the things I want you to take away in terms of application. And so as a way to conclude the message, and then we transition ourselves to the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember that a church cannot be the true church of Jesus Christ if she doesn't faithfully devote herself to the apostles' teaching, to the Bible, and the whole counsel of God. And a church that is devoted to the apostles' teaching should always be the first item on your checklist of what you should look for in a devoted and healthy church. You know, Vancouver is a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. But despite all of that, Vancouver is still very secular, that is bent on dismantling and undermining God's word. And some churches are being influenced by the philosophy of this world at their own peril. But we as a church, we need to stand on guard, to guard ourselves against the attack of the enemy by equipping ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God and the whole armor of God, so that we may stand firm and be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let's pray. Father God, please challenge us what it means to be a devoted church. I pray that there will be the repentance, confession of sins in our lives when we have failed to be devoted to you. Lord, we, including myself, we're not always devoted. We don't always love you as the way we should. So Lord, please forgive us. Even as we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us to pay the penalty of our sins on the cross. Oh Lord, let us not trample what he has done for us with our own lifestyle, but to honor him and to give glory to him in everything that we do. So Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, help us to honor you to the best of our ability, by the grace of God, to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.